I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Toussaint tried to shake and bake. Kipped. Luka Garza, a three.
Beat you up inside, then can embarrass you from deep.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Hour number two on a Monday. The calendar has turned to March, which means madness. It's coming. We'll talk about some rudimentary March Madness, Ken, coming up in the Power Hour. Hour number three of the show. All our NBA bets, all our hockey bets, and our college basketball bets. I can't wait, Ken, to bet on the Oklahoma State game tonight, following what was a thrilling affair between these two schools on Saturday. All the money's on Oklahoma right now. I may be surprised with the pick that I've got for that game with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Later this hour, we got Ken Barkley's historical NCAA projections, right? Where we're going to take data that we've seen in the past, kind of like a treasure map that's going to direct you towards who you want to bet on when the NCAA tournament brackets are released. This is going to be very informative. We'll talk NBA later in the show with Ryan McDonough, former NBA general manager, Ken Barkley's overnights, J.J. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals and what it means, besides for, you know, J.J. throwing Cliff Kingsbury under the bus at some point before week six,
right.
which I would place heavy money on that.
Five and a half? But is that the over-under? 5.5? Is that what it is? Weeks?
Yeah. Over-under week 5.5 for J.J. Watt's first post-game press conference where he throws Cliff Kingsbury under the bus. Where the question's like, so J.J., what was the thought process in behind taking no timeouts on defense there when the situation absolutely warranted it? I guess you'll have to ask the coach. Thanks, J.J. Thanks. Beep. Yeah. Beep. But this hour dedicated solely, of course, to college basketball. Let's kick it off with our buddy Rob Doster, one of the absolute best in the business when it comes to college basketball betting, founder of the Field of 68 podcast network, writer for our friends at Bet Rivers. Visit betrivers.com. Rob, what's going on, brother? Welcome back to You Better You Bet with Nick and Ken. As it's March, my friend, how does it feel? We are now in March. The madness is nearly at hand.
I could not be happier. It's been a long season. It's been a weird season. It's been a weird year. But we are finally going to end up getting the March that we all deserve that we did not get last season. So here's the hoping it goes off without a hitch. I'm expecting it to be pretty good. I'm expecting, you know, a fun month. And I could not be more excited for it, man. It's March, baby. It's March.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more with that. Nick and I were very excited to start the show. When the calendar turns to March, you think NCAA tournament, you think March Madness. Let's have a quick conversation about the weekend, Rob. Maybe we can take some things that we learned from the games on Saturday and Sunday and maybe apply them to either the NCAA tournament, some games coming up this week, the last regular season week for major conferences. What were some kind of the, you know, two or three of your biggest takeaways from either games that you saw on Saturday or Sunday? What stood out to you?
Well, you know, I'm very worried about Villanova at this point. On Sunday, they looked pretty bad against the Butler team that has really not been all that impressive this season. I'm starting to think that, like, maybe this team just is not what we thought they were going to end up being. And you know, that stinks because I was pretty high on them throughout the year, right? Like I thought that they were just waiting to kind of get back in the rhythm after being on their pause, after having some guys test positive, and it just has not come to fruition. So I'm starting to kind of get off of that bandwagon a little bit. And honestly, like I'm still in on Baylor, but it's very concerning to me knowing what that program and what that team went through during their time off. And you know, I was frustrated kind of listening to what the conversation became when it came to, you know, Baylor versus Michigan versus a loss at Kansas versus struggling against Iowa State, when I don't think that you can put those two teams into the same conversation at all. The difference is that Michigan didn't have any positive tests, right? Michigan had to get shut down because their athletic department had a positive test for a different variant of COVID. And the state came in and basically said, we're not going to let you do anything because we do not want this thing to spread. We're going to, out of an abundance of caution, quarantine everybody for 2 weeks. Right. So that's very different than having eight players from what Jeff Goodman is reporting, eight players on Baylor's roster tested positive. Like that's what they were dealing with. And I don't want to get into a debate about just how bad this thing is, but you know, when you get it, like you're going to have symptoms and it's going to hurt and it's not going to be great. And it's going to take you a while to recover from it. So the idea that like we're putting these two teams in the same category based off the shutdown they have is just kind of, it's just not factually accurate. So I was very frustrated by that narrative. And honestly, I'm a little worried about whether or not Baylor's going to be able to get all the way back. I think that they will. Those kids work hard enough. But I, you know, it'd be pretty unfortunate if back-to-back NCAA tournaments were lost and this team, you know, based off of everything that they went through and the growth that they had throughout the years, didn't have a chance to actually, you know, see the fruits of their labor, so to speak.
Rob, I would love for you to expand on the Baylor point. And obviously it goes without saying that the health of the young men is priority number one, but this is a sports betting show and a sports show. So we need to spin this forward kind of to what's going to potentially happen to them in the NCAA tournament, conference tournament, et cetera. And let's talk about the Kansas Jayhawks as well. Kansas takes down Baylor, Baylor's first loss of the season on Saturday. So I think you kind of said like, you know, you're worried about Baylor maybe getting all the way back, but you think that they can get there, kind of like, what's the concern level for Baylor as we enter March now? And also conversely, on the flip side, Kansas riding high following the win on Saturday, Bill Self's team Rock Chalk playing better basketball. Where are you at right now on the Kansas Jayhawks?
I'm in on Kansas. I thought it was actually very promising what they were able to do. I thought that they've really figured out how to utilize David McCormick, right? Like the whole narrative with Kansas this season has been that this team does not have a star. They don't have a go-to guy. They don't have an answer when you pound the ball or when they really need a bucket. They're not able to figure out things on possessions when they get to a short clock because they don't have that star. And well, I don't think that there is an NBA player on the roster necessarily. I do think that they have found their go-to guy. It's David McCormick. You know, it's, if you look at his numbers, I'm not going to go through all the specific details, but hopefully you guys can just trust me when I say this. His numbers in conference play alone, when it comes to efficiency and usage rates and all that, is basically on par with Hunter Dickinson at Michigan. That's how good David McCormick has been since conference play started, which is a far cry from where he was in the first 7, 8, 9 games of the season. And when he's playing that way, and all they really have to do is get the ball to McCormick, either let him go one-on-one or force a double, get a kick out, swing, you know, open three, swing, attack, and close out kind of a deal. All of a sudden, they become a much more dangerous team because they have someone to kind of build their offense around. So I'm in on Kansas being better than what they were at the start of the season. As far as Baylor is concerned, like I'm going to be fading them until I see I actually see it come to fruition where we get the Baylor of old back. Like they were very clearly not themselves against Kansas. And I mean, I don't think you really have to be anything more than just a casual observer to see it. You know, like their jump shots were short. Their rotations were slow. They weren't able to stay in front of everybody. They looked gassed after 2.5 minutes out on the floor. It just, you know, when you're stuck in a room and you're not able to do any kind of physical activity for 2 weeks, like that can really, really take away your wind and your legs and you know, there's a reason why they call it game shape. So I'll be off Baylor for a little while until at least we can see them a performance where it looks like they're the Baylor of old.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And this is the last week of the regular season for conference play. And I believe Baylor's rematch with West Virginia that's gotten postponed a bunch of times is tomorrow. I think that's a game we're going to talk about later in the show. I don't think an opener has come out for that game yet. But if you're going to follow Rob's advice and either pass Baylor or maybe think about fading them, they have an elite opponent coming up literally in about 24 hours or depending on when you're listening to this on Tuesday night. Rob, one of the results that you didn't mention from the weekend, but that I just found really interesting because I think I'm really in on this team. You mentioned teams that you've been kind of in on already. I'm in on Kansas, that kind of stuff. I'm in on Illinois a lot. And they, so Dosunmu doesn't play and he hasn't played for two games now and they beat Nebraska by a lot. And that's, you know, great. Awesome. They beat Nebraska by a lot, but they kind of, you know, not dominate Wisconsin necessarily, but played really well in that game without their best player. All of their metrics kind of add up a lot too. Kind of where you at with Illinois and let's assume they kind of get Dosunmu back here, at least for the NCAA tournament.
I think that the best thing that could have happened to them, assuming that Dosunmu does get back, is to have to play all these games without him. They were a little bit of a, I don't know if one trick pony is the right word, but they were kind of Io and then Kofi, and that's about it. And if you were able to sit on Io's right hand and force him to go left, and you were able to kind of limit Kofi's post touches and limit him from getting deep position in the paint, you would be able to beat them and kind of take away what they do best. And you know, I think that they were struggling a little bit because of it. You know, that's why I think that's why they, you know, didn't look great against Northwestern, why they didn't look great against Nebraska. You know, as bad as those teams are and have been, you still have some really good coaches on those sidelines. And once the Big Ten coaches kind of get tape on these guys and everyone kind of figures out what the answer is to slow them down, this is the kind of thing that you see happen. So I think that that's part of what happened with Illinois, and being able to go out and play the way that they've been playing with having to rely on, you know, Adam Miller and Andre Curbelo and Grandison, DeMonte Williams, and all these other guys that have kind of been forced into, you know, a secondary role when Io Dosunmu and Kofi are out there, I think is going to be a good thing for him long-term, assuming that Io was able to get back healthy. Now, if he's not able to get back healthy, he just completely changes what the ceiling of this team is. Cause I think that he is, has a very strong argument to be the national player of the year. So we're going to need to get him back if this team's going to be able to hit their ceiling. But I really just do think that this is going to be a good thing for them long term.
You better, you bet. BetQL Audio Network, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley on a Monday, joined by Rob Doster, founder of the Field of 68 Podcast Network, talking college basketball here on the show. Rob, we'll get some of your picks for tonight's action coming up in a little bit, but let's follow up on Illinois because they got a big game coming up tomorrow on the road in Ann Arbor against Michigan. Looks like the early line here is Michigan laying 8.5. Any thoughts on that one coming up on Tuesday night for people listening on Tuesday? Tonight in the Big Ten, a big game with Illinois and Michigan.
Well, if it's going to be 8.5, and we're not going to get Iowa, then I really do think I like Michigan there. Part of the reason why I loved Michigan so much against Iowa and so much against Indiana last week was because Hunter Dickinson can go one-on-one in the post against literally anybody in the country. But if he can shut down Luka Garza and he can shut down Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think he can by himself shut down Kofi Coburn. And if he does, I do think that Michigan has enough elite perimeter defenders to take away anybody that Illinois is going to throw at them. And that is including Iowa Sumu, assuming he does play. The thing that people don't realize, I think, is that Illinois' perimeter weapons are pretty small. You know, their best five, when they have their best five on the floor, it's probably Trent Frazier, Andre Curbelo, maybe DeMonte Williams and Ayo Dosunmu. And that means that like 6'4", Ayo Dosunmu, a point guard, is basically their foreman. And when you look at Michigan's roster, they have Shaunae Brown, who's 6'6" and 220 pounds of solid muscle. They have Isaiah Livers, who is basically a 6'7" combo forward, and Franz Wagner, who's 6'9" and can guard point guards. Those are their three wings. Those are the three guys that play those versatile positions, the positionless basketball that makes them so versatile defensively. So I just think that this is a nightmare matchup for Illinois, even if they have Iowa. You know, I'm not going to love it if it's 8.5 and Iowa's playing, but I'm assuming that if he does end up playing, that line is going to come down, and I will find a way to get be on the Michigan side in this game. 8.5 points without Iowa is not enough.
Rob, we got about 2 minutes left. Let's transition to Monday night's games. And, you know, it's not a large slate, but we have major conference games in action. Some of them are pretty interesting. Obviously, you know, the rematch of Bedlam on the basketball court, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State off a, you know, 200-point overtime crazy game, basically. Oregon's a 5-point favorite against Arizona. You got Carolina off like the weirdest week ever with Marquette, and then the Florida State game on Saturday. They're a 2-point favorite at Syracuse. Any best bets for you in about 90 seconds for Monday night?
I love North Carolina in this spot. I think the Marquette game had a lot more to do with the weirdness of playing a non-conference game that doesn't really mean all that much in the middle of league play. So I think that played a more significant role than anything about how good North Carolina actually is. And then the matchup to me is just, it screams Tar Heels in this. I mean, we all know how good they are in the glass and how good they are in the post. Well, Syracuse, their starting center is Merrick Dolje, who's basically like a 6'9", kind of a three man at his best. So it's going to be a little bit difficult for North Carolina to match up with Syracuse at the other end, but I don't think that they necessarily have the elite scores to be able to really take advantage of the mismatch for that North Carolina is going to have. And I don't know if they're going to get a single defensive rebound in this game. I'm just expecting Garrison Brooks and De'Ron Sharp and Walker Kessler and Armando Bacot to get, I'm going to go out on a limb and say each one of them gets at least four offensive rebounds in this game. And I just think North Carolina pounds them on the interior, pounds them on the glass. I would take a look at the over two because we know how fast North Carolina wants to play. And if I like the offensive matchups on both ends of the floor with one team that wants to play at pace, then to me that kind of screams lots and lots and lots of points. So I would take a look at the over, but I think that North Carolina here in this spot too is not enough.
All right, so there you have it. Rob's pick for tonight. Loves the North Carolina Tar Heels against Syracuse. Rob, we appreciate it. Fantastic stuff as always. Welcome to March, buddy. We look forward to catching up with you again soon here on You Better You Bet.
March is here. Thanks, guys.
That's our buddy Rob Doster, founder of the Field of 68 podcast network. Man, March. NCAA. Absolutely love it. I too, Ken Barkley, love the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Oh, okay.
Syracuse, a little power hour preview. Sure. Your guy, Walker Kessler, your North Carolina Tar Heels, this big man that came out of nowhere over the weekend, is going to dominate tonight. Or maybe he won't.
Right. Well, we'll see. Tough to peg a team that loses by a billion to Marquette at home in a game that was scheduled at the last minute, then beats like the best team in the conference the next game. Tough to peg that team.
That's right. Historical NCAA tournament projections. How are you going to pick a winner? We're going to tell you right after this.
What do you get when you pair?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.